guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go.
But the Rod Neal, I kind of refouled it with this whole coronavirus pandemic issue resurfacing. So that's kind of when I started following it more often. And then with your daily show that you do with Mike Barra and
Dean Ryan.
Yeah, Dean Ryan, sorry. I've been following you more often.
We've been doing those every single day. This Sunday.
I know, it's hard to believe in how many weeks now, five or six weeks?
We have done about 70 consecutive daily shows, Michael. Wow. 70. Every single day. Sunday, we're going to take our first break. We're having a special tomorrow on the Arab Spring because Dean, I think correctly, has perceived parallels where the CIA was there seeking to overthrow, these Middle Eastern nations. And now they're using the same techniques right here in the USA.
Yeah.
And I believe he's also correct. And we talked about this today. That this is Barack Obama's legacy to the United States, a plan to overthrow the American government. I mean, it is stunning.
Yeah. Well, I would be interested to see what he has to say because their parallels are probably there. I've even hinted at it in your last show. But, I also think it's a last-ditch effort by the Democratic Party to try to Trump, too, I think. I think that the narrative of the coronavirus was starting to wear thin, and people are getting fed up with the restrictions, and now that the numbers don't justify the actions, and they're trying to whip up another thing to keep people inside their homes, I guess, and try to make Trump look, because they've always tried to put the racist tag on Trump.
Yeah, that's never fit. I mean, the guy is a builder in New York. He gets along well with all of the races. There never been any racial complaints about Donald Trump. This is all a fabrication.
It is. That's part of it. And then I also believe there's this whole thing. Antifa and Black Lives Matter movement to try to foment a race war in America. I think that's part of it as well.
Well, as I mentioned to you just before we went on the air, there's a new Rasmussen poll. The numbers will be out tomorrow, showing there's been a surge in black support for Trump, over 40% now, which means, of course, that Democrats will be lucky if they win any elections in any of the states, because they're going to go down very big by black voters. These are likely black voters now, Michael. This is not just the black community, many of whom don't vote at all, but this is of likely black voters who see these protests, looting and killing, just destroying everything they worked for their whole lives. I mean, you know, most black families are very middle class, and a whole lot like the families in South Pasadena when I was growing up back in the 1950s. They have actually conservative values. They're very normal, very conventional. They believe in families. They believe in heterosexuality, not homosexuality. I think they're just as aghast at what's going on here as most of us in the rest of America.
Well, I think so, and I think keep in mind that a lot of the other states, as you pointed out in your shows, these are all happening in the Democratic states, Democratic-dominated states, California, New York. I mean, well, Minnesota's a little different. A lot of the heavy riots are in the big major cities.
Michigan and Illinois, two examples that are good ones, and Maine, of all places.
Yeah. But I think the places, the battleground states that the Democrats need to actually win to be able to beat Trump it's not going to play well in those states.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And the last poll I saw showed, although Biden had an overall lead, something like 53-41 in the battleground states, Trump was leading in 15 battleground states. Trump was ahead. And I'll tell you, this is not going to diminish support for Donald Trump. Yeah. I mean, they are deluded into the belief that it will, but it isn't panning out. And frankly, if you look at it objectively, it's absurd to suppose that riots, looting, killing cops, seeking to defend the police is going to be beneficial to acquire votes for Joe Biden, who's brain dead. He's literally brain damaged. He's cognitively impaired. I mean, Michael, have you ever seen such an absurd situation politically?
No. I couldn't vote for Biden even if he wasn't cognitively impaired, just because of his record. But the fact of the matter, the guy, I don't think he can even hold up to a debate.
Oh, no. Trump will make mincemeat out of him.
He would get destroyed.
Yeah.
And the parallel I draw a little bit, well, it's not an exact fit, is Reagan in his second term was definitely impaired, but not to the level of Biden, I think. And I think whoever is going to be the vice president candidate is going to be the person that's really going to be running the show. But I just don't see, I can't imagine, I just don't think he's going to make it.
I think Hillary still has designs upon the office, and that she's been a major player in all these efforts to take down Trump, one after another, beginning with Russiagate, followed by Ukrainegate, followed by the feeble impeachment, followed by the coronavirus pandemic, political, not a medical emergency. This. I see the hand of Hillary and Barack Obama in all of this, Michael.
I agree. I think Obama, I think Hillary is definitely behind the scenes in a lot of it. But I think Obama thinks, I mean, I'm trying to think of the right thing to say, but the guy was all talk as a candidate, and he never delivered on anything and only made matters worse as a president.
But he certainly didn't benefit the black community. There's a wonderful piece we actually talk about in the show today about all the things Obama could have done, you know, investing in black communities, strengthening black education, you know, making it really everyone be very proud to be black. I mean, with I think the whole idea of a race war in America is completely absurd. Once you had a black president elected into the highest office in the land, I mean, this is just stupid. So it's Obama. So I was parodying him yesterday and saying, so here's Barack Obama explaining how racial bias is so bad in the United States that no black could ever aspire to become president of the United States.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's stupid.
I know.
We're not supposed to notice.
I look back on the Obama now, and I just think he was really a phony president. I don't think he was all really there, and I don't think he was really running the situation at all. I think it was Hillary really behind the scenes.
I suspect you're correct. I suspect you're 100% correct. And, of course, Michael, you're out there in California. I mean, how is it to cope with your fellow Californians? Of course, I was born in Pasadena. I care about the future of California. I have a brother who resides near Sacramento, not too far from your own residence. I mean, you know, to me, this is just all totally appalling.
It is. The problem is I don't. The only avenue I have to see my friends is on Facebook. And although when I run into other people when I'm out for a run, usually people that are they're just nothing but kind. They don't worry about. I never wear a face mask when I go for a workout because I need to actually take an oxygen when I'm working out. And nobody gets upset. Everybody's kind. Everybody's nice about it. But I did have an experience where I ran into an old running buddy of mine earlier this week, and he was just in a good mood, and he just didn't seem to be that concerned about the virus because he wasn't wearing any facial gear. So, but it's hard. It's hard because I can't. I disagree with about every one of my friends that are actual physical friends that are on Facebook because they just buy into the whole coronavirus myth, and most of them buy into the whole that Trump's an evil human, one of the worst president ever, and you just can't talk to people like that. I'm more open-minded. I try to read a lot, and I try to make up my own mind, you know?
Well, I can tell, you've done a pretty good job of that, Michael. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I have friends and even relatives who buy into this narrative, up to and including my wife. Yeah, we've had the worst arguments of our married life, which is now over 42 years.
Yeah.
Recently, because of all of this political pandemic, whether it's real or not, wearing masks or not, she refuses to go out. I wanted to take her out to dinner for the first time in several months.
Yeah, yeah.
And she refused to do it.
Yeah, I know. Well, my wife is in the medical industry as a pharmacist, and she thinks the masks are unnecessary. And it's very frustrating for her, because now they mandated that she has to wear one all day where she works.
And, of course, they recirculate your CO2, meaning you're breathing oxygen-depleted air, which means you're not reoxygenating your red blood cells, which means they're killing your cells, including your brain cells. You probably heard me predict that when this is all over, the average IQ of the U.S. will have dropped by 5 points.
Yeah, well, that's why I've told so many people I refuse to wear a mask when I'm out for a bike ride or a run because I need to breathe. I mean, it'll defeat the purpose of going out to exercise if I can't breathe in the air. But she, my wife, at least meets me halfway on it.
That's good. That,
and that she doesn't believe the masks are necessary. She believes the reaction has been overblown completely.
Good.
And she would like to be able to go out to dinners, and it's very frustrating.
Are you able to go out to dinner? Have you taken her out to dinner lately?
We haven't, because we can't physically eat in the restaurant. We went to Carmel, when our favorite place to visit, Memorial Day weekend, and we all the restaurants are open, but we had to take our food back to our hotel room.
Really?
Yeah. So we.
God, what a downer, Michael. I'm sure the restaurant has a spectacular view of the ocean.
Yeah. Well, in that time, there's only a few that have a great view, but it's the experience of the restaurants. You're missing out on.
Yeah. Yeah. And the ambiance, sure.
Yeah.
The whole decor, the whole way it's laid out, the joy of having a meal in, for example, a large room, you know. I mean, it's just terrific.
But the one thing, there was a couple of, there was that aspect was a disappointment, but the food was still great. And, but the most important thing, we wanted to get out and walk and see the views, and nothing was closed down. It was very bizarre because Carmel has a stretch at the very bottom of the hill, and Carmel has a big beach. And at the bottom of the hill, there's a road called Scenic Road, and it's called Scenic Road for a reason because
it actually is scenic.
You're right along the beach, and you can see Pebble Beach from there, and you can see the whole coast, you know, a lot of the coastline. What was so bizarre about it is that all the parking spots were closed on ocean or on scenic.
Why in the world?
They had every parking spot closed, and they would tow you away if you parked there. But all people were doing was parking one block up the hill and walking down anyway.
That seems just silly to me.
And then they had signs everywhere, you know, that access to the beach was restricted, but the beach was pretty crowded. That's all I'll say.
Well, was it Garcetti who said you could use the beaches but only walk on the wet sand and not the dry?
Yeah.
I mean, that's lunatic. How do you get to the wet sand if you don't walk through the dry? And what the hell is supposed to be the difference between wet and dry regarding the coronavirus?
But one thing I'll say about that area, Carmel was nice, is that they had a few park rangers out, and they were completely nice. They let people just go on with their, you know, walks. Seeing this, you know, enjoying the fresh air, enjoying the beautiful days there. And nobody got in our way, and nobody got in anybody else's way. And any authority figures just let people be. So I thought that was kind of nice.
It was very, very, very nice.
And especially because there were so many signs up and saying, you know, maintain distance, don't have large gatherings on the beach, but the beach was pretty crowded, actually, and they just let people be. I thought that was a nice sign. I expected worse.
No, that's really good. I'm glad you were able to enjoy that trip. That sounds really wonderful.
Well, we're going back on the 4th of July, so.
Do they have a fireworks display?
I don't know. They might. I will have to see. I haven't checked it out, but the 4th is on a Saturday this year. So we're going to stay down the 3rd, the 4th, and come back on the 5th. But I don't know. We'll see if they have fireworks. But I'm hoping we can at least. Some restaurants said they were going to have tables outside to dine out, still be able to dine at the restaurant, but be seated outside. So we'll see if that changes.
So what's going to happen at your house when there's a knock on a door and this giant Bill Gates with a huge needle wants to stick it in your arm?
They're going to have to arrest me, I guess.
I mean, you know, he's worked up so kids now get, I don't know, there used to be two or three when I was a kid. I think there may be 70 now vaccines you're supposed to, and Bill Gates is making money off of all of them. I mean, for him, it's a business. He's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. He's not a virologist. He's not an epidemiologist. He's a geek who wants to control the world through vaccines. And, Michael, let me ask you this question. He has said that if his vaccine program were a success, that it would reduce the world's population by 10 to 15%. Well, how's that supposed to happen if these vaccines are supposed to benefit you from diseases? Yeah. You'd presume that enables you to live longer, and therefore they might have a 10 to 15% role in extending longevity. So that implies to me that he has secret ingredients in his vaccines that actually are intended to induce sterility and anti-fertility.
Well, I think that's part of it. I mean, I think what you're referring to is that TED talk he gave where he said if we do a really good job with something, I think it was like birth control or something else, and vaccines, we could reduce the world's population 10-15%. But I think it's more diabolical than that, because when you read into anything what they're proposing this vaccine is going to do, it's going to basically inject RNA into your cell and modify your genetics. I mean, that's kind of what, when you listen to what Andy Kaufman says, what John Rappaport says, it's not just a virus vaccine. It's really taking it, humanity, and altering its genetic makeup, not to mention whatever microchip, nanochip technologies in it as well. But I just don't think it. I think it's far more diabolical than just sterility. To me, from what when I listen to people that know about the vaccine issue and have covered it for a long time, it's not. I think it's very scary. I think it's very scary. And to mandate it to every human being just says what they want to do. Well, I think they want to kill off a bunch of people right out of the gate with it.
I've never been so disgusted with a human being as I with Alan Dershowitz when he was insisting that there's no constitutional right to resist mandatory vaccination. When we have a right to self-defense, there's a right to due process. You're putting in jeopardy your life. That's going to require informed consent. He ignored all that. He ignored the Nuremberg Code, developed after Joseph Mengele had performed all these experiments on involuntary patient subjects who were prisoners. I mean, where has Dershowitz got his head that the sun doesn't shine, that he can't make a sensible statement and comes up with nonsense like that? I mean, I was furious and remain so.
Yeah. Well, I listened to part of his interview with Del Bigtree after that. And he tries to walk back on it, being Dershowitz, meaning Dershowitz, that, well, what I really meant by that statement is, you know, for the greater good of humanity, you have no right to not get vaccinated if it means saving people's lives, which is a bunch of bullshit. The guys will... That's what he was really referring to, he says.
There's a greater good. That's a utilitarian argument. The deontological, you have to respect every single human being and treat them as valuable in and of themselves with respect. And Dershowitz was not doing that. He was saying we could just forcibly vaccinate a whole lot of people because it would be for the greater good. Well, that's bullshit. That as you say, that is what it is, bullshit.
Well, the thing is... What makes that argument so ridiculous on its face, when you think about it logically, let's say you're a person that wants to get vaccinated. You get vaccinated. Then that means the unvaccinated person can't get you sick. So why does the unvaccinated person have to also get vaccinated if they don't want to?
That's exactly right. Right. If the vaccines actually work, then people are going to want to have them and not worry about those who don't, because from their point of view, since the vaccines make them immune to risk to others, they're in a privileged position. So why in the hell should they worry about those who don't get vaccinated? They're just going to go their way and suffer a miserable death because they didn't get vaccinated. They didn't have the wisdom to follow the path.
I know. That's the argument I've always made, because I haven't had a vaccination since I went in the military in 1982, and so it's been almost 40 years. But And then probably then it was only three, I'm thinking, back in 82. But I've had, you know, oh, maybe 10, 15 years ago, my wife asked me if I would you know, thought, you know, you should probably think about getting a booster. And I said, oh, I don't, why do I need one when I'm totally healthy? I don't, you know, and every time flu season passes by, I never get the flu.
Well, that's because you didn't get your flu shot. Didn't you know the purpose of the flu shot was to give you the flu?
I know.
You didn't want to be left out, right? Everybody else is getting the flu.
Yeah. But I never even people that got the flu shot that I worked with, I never got the flu from them. And my feeling is if the person has a very high, very good immune system, they shouldn't be left alone. They shouldn't have to get vaccinated. And then
They should be left alone, yes.
And I have to see a doctor on a regular basis for, it's a health issue, but it's just that I have to do it because I'm on a prescription for this health issue. But I was really astonished by, this is going back a few years. I went in to see the doctor. And the nurse that was, you know, taking my vitals, which they have to do every time you go in. And it's usually a formality for me because my blood pressure is terrific and my heart rate is terrific. So I don't have any problems with that. But then she started going and saying, you know, you should get your flu shot. And I found that was surprising because the doctor I'm seeing is a neurologist. And I'm wondering, why are they pushing the flu shot on me? I just had to really bite them off with a stick saying, I'm not interested, you know? But when I started reading about the CDC and vaccines, you know, they gave the CDC basically in this book I'm reading, they basically paid a lot of money to share their vaccine database with all the HMOs. So all the HMOs can come to you and say, well, you know, you need to get your vaccine. And that's kind of where that came from.
You're another ring in the cash register and exactly. Bill Gates' bank account. I mean, you know, it's just absurd. And it turned out that in India, for some reason, which was polio free, he talked them into giving his polio vaccine on a large scale, wound up with 500,000 paralyzed Indian children. And when the medical authorities in India were very, very dubious of what was going on, they had the ingredients of the vaccine tested, and it included sterility and anti-fertility drugs that weren't a part of the program as far as they were concerned, and they gave Gates the boot out of India. In my opinion, every other nation in the world should give the boot to Bill Gates, including the USA.
Yeah, I think it's Bill Gates, but it's also in the book I'm reading now, which is fantastic, called Inoculated. The CDC is a deeply corrupt organization. And that's why I'm hoping if Trump gets reelected, that he can either dismantle that organization or reorganize it, because it's deeply corrupt. It's deeply corrupt. And they're so tied to their agenda being vaccination rather than the self, health and safety of the population. They don't, and to complicate it, they got a lot of revolving doors with people that work for the CDC that go and work for the vaccine manufacturers.
Yes. Oh, it's
so it's a back and forth thing. And that's why there's no interest in actually doing an actual study to find out what the damage that vaccines actually do, the negative impact. And that's what this book gets into. It's a fantastic book. And I decided to get it because I read his, he helped Judy Mikovits write her most recent book.
Yeah. Very good.
Plague of Corruption.
Yeah.
And this name is Kent Heckin. Lively, I believe, but he's a fantastic writer, and Judy's book, she recommended the book I'm reading now, which is why I moved right to that one, because I'm astonished at the corruption of the CDC. and the NIH, for that matter.
Yeah, so it turns out Fauci has known since 2005 that HCQ is a wonder drug regarding the coronavirus so that no one needed to die. How can he sit on that information 15 years later and not provide the cure? Because, obviously, he wanted there to be a universal fear, scare, shut down the economy. I mean, what a rotten bastard. I am unqualified in despising Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci.
Well, one thing that's interesting about Fauci, I listened to RFK Jr. on London Real Show.
Yeah.
And he's a fantastic interview, and he would,
Bobby Jenner.
Brian Rose gave him an hour and 40 minutes. And he kind of describes how he got into the vaccine issue, not willingly. He was dragged into it, but, because he was more involved in environmental contamination, right?
Of the pollution. Yeah.
Yeah. But he was approached by some parents that were, concerned about their kids' safety because of, they had autism, and the autism just happened immediately after they got a vaccine.
Yeah, it's a perfect correlation, Michael. Yeah. Perfect statistical correlation. The increase of vaccines, increase of autism, slight decrease in vaccine, slight decrease in autism. It's a perfect correlation. There's really no doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, the Bobby Kennedy, RK Jr., in the show, he was talking about a conversation he had with Fauci, where Fauci, leveled with him, saying, "Well, if we ever did test for the, if we ever had to make the vaccines, will never be safe." Basically, is what he said to Bobby Kennedy. We can never test them for safety because they'll never be totally safe. So what does that say to you?
It says they're not testing them for safety, period.
That's right.
Which is insane. It's completely insane. And you're right. The CDC is just a PR operation for Big Pharma. That's all it is. It's a PR front.
Yeah, PR front for Big Pharma, PR front for the World Health Organization, too.
Yeah.
It's they're so tied to the pharmaceutical industry. The vaccine, the aspect of it, not the pill portion of it, but they are, what's great about Hecker and Lively's book is he gets into the studies that the CDC did to try to disprove autism connection. And it's fascinating. It's fascinating is all I can say.
He tries to disprove the correlation, which is impossible.
Well, the initial surge of concern about autism was when a British doctor, let me pull his name up here, but I had it in my notes, but, Dr. Andrew Wakefield in Britain, did a study, of 12 children that had autism behavior. And then he basically found out I'm trying to go through my notes, but he found a connection with the MMR vaccine and autism, but it also had a funny aspect to it that it had a gastrointestinal issue with it where the measles ended up in their GI system and their spinal fluid. But that was kind of the first initial concern. And then he pretty much got kicked to the side and disbarred and all that. And then it got out into the media. And then in about 2000, there was another doctor in America that, found out that the thimerosal in the vaccines was causing the autism. And so the whole process ended up where the Congress got involved and they did a, had a, had a, um, uh, I'm trying to think of the right word. It's they.
I know they wound up passing legislation to make them not liable, which is absurd. Just as absurd a thing as you could possibly do.
No, they had a. They actually had a committee.
Of course.
Get it.
What else does Congress do but form committees?
But they did. But they actually condemned the CDC. This is back in like 2001, 2002.
Good.
And they said the CDC should do this, that, and the other. And they should do. They really should do a study on thimerosal and its effects. And thimerosal has ethyl mercury in it.
Yes.
And they should really it warrants further study, is what they said. And so they had all these. They had like 17 findings that's in the book, and then like 6 recommendations. And they also said in there that there should be the president should consider this like an somewhat of a national emergency. Of course, who was president at that time in 2002? So nothing was done.
And this was Obama?
No, it was Bush W.
Oh,
Bush.
W. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Of course. 2002. Yes, sure.
Yeah. So what ended up happening is the CDC did a series of studies to try to disprove the thimerosal and autism connection.
Yeah.
And in the book, he gets into the details of these studies, and it's pretty fascinating because the first three studies compare kids in Denmark to kids in the USA, where the kids in Denmark get only 40% of the amount of mercury ingested than the ones in America. And so it's like comparing apples and oranges, right? And then,
have a lesser incidence, right? Or it's less severe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's further confirmation of the strength of the cause.
Yeah. But to cut to the case, all five of the studies they cite in saying that there's no connection at all were all fatally flawed in how they did the study. And
of course, otherwise they couldn't arrive at such an obviously false conclusion.
Yeah. And so one of the people that was behind the committee, the Congress committee, was Dan Burton. I think he was an Indiana's congressman. And he really cared deeply about it. He cared about the health because he was a doctor himself, I believe. But he was really passionate and was able to get that committee together to do at least provide recommendations and tell the CDC what to do. And then the CDC basically did these studies and said there's nothing here. And it's been that way ever since. And there was one other congressman that he cites in the book that gave it him. I think he was out of Florida. Let me go to my notes here quick. But
I think Gates was able to install his stooges at all the key positions, and exert great influence. He gave billions to the WHO, for example.
Yeah, but there was Dave Weldon at that time, I think he was Florida congressman, a Democrat. Basically, he made an impassioned speech at like one of these, autism conferences for parents, that got together. And this is in 2004. And he's talking about, the CDC needs to, you don't study the issue by doing an epidemiological study, which is based on statistics and the chances of. You go in there, you get the tissue, you do a biological analysis of it. And the CDC won't go there. And it's been that way ever since that period in the mid-2000s. And the reason is that they don't, because they're too tied to the industry.
Yeah, they know their outcome in advance.
Yeah, and the studies, all the studies had ties, people that were in on the research team, all of them, all studies had at least a few people that worked in the industry. So, it's like it's the industry studying itself.
Right, covering its ass.
So basically, nothing has changed and only gotten worse since that time. And I think it's anybody that believes the CDC when it comes with regards to vaccines is just one aspect. They're a deeply corrupt organization, and I think they need to be curtailed after the election. And don't forget where all these guidelines are coming from, you know? The guidelines that all the shutdown of the economy, the social distancing, the masks, they're all coming from the CDC. And I think they need to be dismantled. That's my opinion.
Yeah, totally reorganized, replaced.
Yeah.
By a truly independent medical organization that's interested in defending the public health.
Yeah, one of the interesting things about the studies that the CDC did, though, that's another aspect of it that he points out in his book, is that the CDC does these studies, and then they put it out there in the journals, and then independent researchers want to take a look at their actual data, but they destroy their actual data. You know, the bottom line data that they did to write the paper.
No scientist is going to destroy his raw data. That's just ridiculous.
Well, why would they do that? Why would they do that?
To cover it up, that they'd fudge their data, that they weren't actually reporting the results they obtained.
But how can they get away with
it's
that?
It's a form of fraud. This is scientific fraud.
It is. But I'm only about a third of the way through this book, and I'm just saying it's a mind blower. This book came out in 2016.
Well, it sounds to me like you've been a discriminating reader and picking up really important books that are driving right to the heart of the matter, Michael.
I love, that's why I like guys like Andrew Kaufman and books like this, because they get into what's actually in the paper, what's actually in the journal article. They bring it out word for word. And you know, when I got a master's degree, but I was actually working towards a PhD. I've read a lot of journal articles. I can tell you they're dense reading, but that's where you get to the nitty gritty. You don't get it by this is what the media is saying. The report says.
You're right. Cause they don't simplify and they'll say anything they want, and you're not in a position to prove them wrong.
And Kaufman, that's what Kaufman does. Andrew Kaufman, who's been a critic of this whole thing. He reads the journal articles and draws the conclusions based on that and whether it makes sense or not. Cause some articles are not, you can see the fraudulent nature and how the tests are run. And that's what this book gets into. I it's hard to describe all the details.
I've been an editor for, or actually edited journals myself, one of which I founded, an international journal entitled Minds and Machines for Artificial Intelligence, Philosophy, and Cognitive Science. So I know the importance of the referee process, revision, substantiating, documenting your findings and all that.
The other thing, he brings up in the article, in the book, is in the journal articles, I had it on the tip of my tongue. I'll come back to it in a little bit.
Sure.
In the CDC's tests, they don't do their test where here's a group of kids that doesn't get the vaccine versus here's a group of kids that does get the vaccine.
They don't have a control?
No.
Well, that's ridiculous. How can you test if you don't have a control?
So they're comparing basically, this is a group of kids that gets the vaccine at this age versus a group of kids that gets it at this age versus a group of kids that gets this much vaccine.
You see what a clever methodological cover that is to conceal the fact that they're not giving you serious scientific data.
Exactly. But that's what blew my mind. I mean, how do you draw the conclusion that there's no effect at all when you don't even have a group that doesn't get the vaccine compared to a group that does get it. I think that's complete and utter bullshit.
Yeah, it's more scientific fraud. There's no question about it.
Yeah, but this is what they hide behind. This is what they're saying, that there's no harm, whatever, when there's no, you know, Bobby Kennedy in his interview on London Real says, I'll be on board with your vaccines as long as you do a double blind test on them and have test them on a person that gets it versus a person that doesn't get it. And they've never done that.
Isn't that absurd?
It's crazy. And this is what we're driving this country and this world towards, mandatory vaccination based on that bullshit.
Yeah, it's insulting. It's insulting.
It is insulting, and it's insulting to every person that is healthy, that doesn't need it, and it's going to destroy their health, you know?
This is just giving a financial windfall to corporations that don't deserve it and making a lot of immoral individuals very, very rich.
I think I wonder how much of the vaccines are actually necessary. I mean, I think
most of them surely are not. I do think tetanus and rabies are two that have proven their worth, but most of the rest of them have not.
Yeah, and they've expanded it so much. That's the thing. It's the reason that's expanded so much is because of they've taken the liability away.
Oh yeah, it's insane. I mean, was there ever a more misconceived bill that, in relation to the best interests of the American people, that exempt vaccine manufacturers from liability from harm caused by their product? I mean, this is just idiotic, except they were awful lot of congressmen were on the payroll for that one, Michael.
Yeah.
This is a big payoff.
In Heck and Lively's book, he gets into a lot more detail on the creation of that bill. I think it was the Childhood Vaccine Injury Act.
Yeah, something like that.
1986. And initially, you know, when that act was created, there were six vaccines. And initially, it wasn't even coming from the vaccine manufacturers. It was coming from the health industry to create allow parents to be able to be compensated if their kid was injured. But this is before autism really, really took off, right? 86. But then what they did is they created this court that was funded by the vaccine itself, by like an extra tax or an extra charge on each vaccine, and that the parents could go to this court and, you know, be with a panel of doctors and judges and get a settlement if their kid was injured by the vaccine. And it seemed to work in the early years, but then in 1995, they made it more of a litigious process, and it made it harder for the parents to fight and get to the court. So they had to go through a lot longer time period to get compensated. And then what's happened over time is that's tightened up, and then the amount of vaccines has exploded in that time. But of course, the deal that they made in 86 with that bill was the parents could not sue the manufacturers. They had to go to the special court to get compensated. But now with all of the vaccines out there and all the kids being injured, so many more, millions more than were in 1986, the parents are waiting years to even get heard, you know?
Oh, yeah. They regard that as just as part of the cost of doing business that they got to eventually pay off on a few lawsuits, because it's such a monstrous swindle. And the profit margin is so immense. And they could care less about the actual effects on the children. I say every one of those vaccines ought to be given to the manufacturers of the vaccine and their children and families first, just to show that it's just fine and dandy. And let us wait a few years and see if they have any adverse effects.
Yeah, I think Bill Gates' kids should be the first in line.
You know, he's made them exempt. His own physician said Gates wouldn't allow his children to be vaccinated.
Yeah, I know.
Michael, before we go further, I want to announce, you know, that we're glad to take calls during the second hour. The number to reach Mitchell, 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540-352-4452. To speak to Michael McGuire and me, and Mitchell will take your call. He may have to call you back. He's very good. He's very adept at doing that. Meanwhile, Michael, a few more thoughts while we have the chance.
Yeah, but getting back to the vaccine court, you know, Judy Mikovits, actually, when she was still on gag order in the mid-2000s, served on that court with her mentor, and got to see some of the cases of people coming to the court that had injured kids.
Must have been horrifying.
It is. She had a couple stories in her book about it, which were sad, you know. But the guy, the writer of the book, Peckin Lively, two of his kids were injured by vaccines. His daughter was able to get through it I think she got some kind of special treatment that brought her out of it, but the son is autistic, totally.
I think Judy mentioned that they found a cure for autism, but at least it was a drug that severely reversed the effects. In the market, the drug manufacturers bought it up to ensure that it wouldn't be available to the American people.
I just find that hard to... Well, maybe it's all about they don't want to ruin their profit margin, I guess.
Well, it's like a cure for cancer. Do you imagine how many billions they make from cancer? Yeah. If there were a simple available cures for cancer, they would lose stunning quantities of income, of revenue. Yeah. They murder people over these things, Michael. We've had a whole host of holistic doctors who seem to be onto something that have been taken out. I don't know the current number, but it's a large number.
It is, yeah. Yeah. But the court now is completely overwhelmed, and they didn't anticipate in 86 this explosion of autism. And the lifelong medical treatment that kid's going to have for a lifetime. No money, amount of money could ever compensate for that, you know?
Oh, I agree. And all the additional expenditures for dealing with this would not be encountered if the autism were not present.
Yeah. So again, he gets into that in his book, and it's a deeply flawed bill. And in one fascinating passage in his book, he actually interviews a judge that was on the court for 20 years. And the judge would not give his name, but would speak to him candidly about his experiences. And it was pretty, pretty amazing.
Pretty grim, I would bet.
It is. But he talks about his feelings about the program and I mean, but, you know, he didn't talk about specific cases, but he talked about, you know, it was a well-intentioned bill at the time. And he basically brought out all the things I just told you, that there was only 6 vaccines when the bill was passed, and they've exploded to 18 or 19 at the time of the book.
Oh, they got to be hundreds by now, right?
Yeah. But he didn't, this book is written in 2016, but he said that, you know, the system's now overwhelmed and it can't deal with all the people, and the people were waiting years just to get their
cases on the docket.
Yeah. It's really pretty bad. And
well, it's financially expensive in addition. You know, we're wasting all this money needlessly because Congress was so stupid as to pass an immunization act to a product that has great potential for inducing harmful effects.
Yeah, I know. But, the book I have to admit it's a fascinating read, and I'm
repeat the names of the books you're talking about.
Well, let me pull it up here. I got my Kindle. hold on, give me just a second here. This book is called
On the Air.
This book is called Inoculated: How Science Lost Its Soul in Autism. And I just got done with Plague of Corruption.
Yes. Judy Mikovits.
Yeah. But it's the same, basically the same writer that teamed up with Mikovits that wrote Inoculated.
Well, it's a complicated area when you have to know both medicine, therefore science, and the law as well. So there aren't going to be a lot of individual well positioned. Another reason I'm so in awe and admiration of RFK Jr., because he's putting out all of these publicly accessible articles that carry you from the technical literature to what it really means in terms of ordinary understanding and making a valuable contribution to society.
Yeah.
Let me repeat again that Michael and I are glad to take your calls to number 540-352-4452. You might as well write it down, keep it on hand, because anytime Mitchell's producing for me, that's the number, 540-352-4452. Michael and I will be here awaiting your call. Any final thoughts here, Michael, before we hit the break? Not much time. We'll be here waiting for your calls. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take freedom!
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
All right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Michael, let me explain to Mitchell that, Mitchell, I'm not in contact with you, so if you have a caller, please just tell me and we'll bring him on in. Just give me the first name and the state and we'll bring him in, because I haven't been able to link to you on my other computer, so okay, please do that.
Giuseppe from the District of Criminals.
Okay, from District of Criminals.
Hello, fellas. How are you?
It's good, been a, Giuseppe. It's great to have you here. Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things. I took notes during the first hour. The first minor element I'd like to bring up is that rabies is not a vaccine. It's a treatment. So it's not really considered an immune booster. And tetanus is really worthless. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny researched and found recipients of tetanus vaccines are four times more likely to get tetanus than unvaccinated. So,
oh, really? Even tetanus is not a good one? Even
nope. Sherry Tenpenny, if you check, it's at her website. She did a deep dive into the tetanus research and found that tetanus vaccinated patients four times more likely to get tetanus after the vaccination.
Oh my God, that's awful.
It is awful. Well, that's just it. That, you know, to step back and take a global view of vaccinations, what it all boils down to is real science practiced by people like Dr. Judy Mikovits, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Rashid Buttar, where they let the data dictate. They don't have any preconceived notions, versus Fauci and Dr. Paul Offit and that subhuman piece of shit, Dr. Richard Pan, in California, that claim that vaccines are safe and effective and good for kids, which is an outright lie. It's absolutely, and the deviants who espouse those lies all have massive economic benefit for being proselytizers for vaccines. The only science that should be applied to vaccines is forensic science. Vaccines killed my 13-week-old nephew. Vaccines have turned children of my friends, close friends, into autistic zombies. Vaccines give adults autoimmune disease and a lifetime of suffering and pain. Vaccines don't do anything positive. It's the arrogance going all the way back to that British dude, James, I can't think of his last name, who claimed that he cured smallpox and he tested on his son and his stepson, and he killed them both by the age of 20. So it's just...
It's absolutely god-awful.
It is god-awful, and that's why people like Del Bigtree, Robert Kennedy Jr., who's just a fantastic guy, Kent Heckenlively, which is an awesome fella, and... Oh, by the way, his daughter was saved by Judy Mikovits using the interferon alpha and the natural curatives.
In his book, he talks about, I wasn't sure what the treatment was, but his daughter looked like she was going down that path for autism, but they were able to resuscitate her.
Right.
She's relatively normal. But,
and then the next point I'd like to make is that you guys are accurately, you know, pointing out just how utterly corrupt and criminal the CDC is. But I would say step back and apply that same lens to the entire government is utterly corrupt and criminal. FDA, the EPA, the Federal Trade Commission, the FCC, keep on going. The Department of Agriculture, name one arm of the United States government that does not serve the interests of the globalist parasites over the interests of American citizens. And one thing you said, Dr. Fetzer, CDC is PR. I would maintain that they're not just PR. They are commissioned, unethical, slimy salespeople. I mean, they're actively benefiting. Yeah. Fauci makes millions from patents he owns on vaccines. How is a guy, they created this special hybrid organization, half governmental, half private, so people like Fauci could own the patents and become multimillionaires. It's beyond insane.
I know.
Well, I think you got it absolutely right, Giuseppe. I mean, elements of the government that are supposed to protect the public, and that's where the public just commits this profound category mistake, thinking that these agencies that are going to protect them are actually in their interest when they're protecting the industry, not the public, but the industry. It's profits.
Yeah, absolutely. Profits, power, and control, right?
Yeah, I think the public in general needs to start thinking that the health industry is more adversarial.
I think after this, Michael, that's going to happen. If Trump is reelected, there's going to be a massive overhaul. I have no doubt at all.
I have to admit that I'm probably going to – I'm voting for him probably on this issue because – to me, this is the future of humanity, in my opinion. Just judging by the description of what this vaccine is going to be like, I think it's going to destroy a lot of lives and a lot of people's health, and make them more dependent health wise on the system. You know, not to mention the long term repercussions are probably inability to have children for generations from now.
Giuseppe, how could we set up an independent agency that would actually fulfill the function intended by the CDC, by those who voted for it with high expectations?
I believe that the way to do it is to destroy, blow up the current CDC, eliminate it, and you create a new advisory board or governing board that performs actual scientific tests and evaluations and approvals of any vaccine. And that board includes people with independent scientific acumen like Judy Mikovits, people like Robert Kennedy, who own our legal beagles and understand how the law works. And no one on that board is in any way attached to corporations and has to have at least a 7-year window of you leave a corporation before you're on any kind of board like that. And then you have to really be vetted. And it's funny that Michael brought up, I was laying in bed last night, lying rather, and I thought to myself, you know, what's wrong with this entire government is that it should be like a pit bull on a chain against the corporations, against the globalist bankers. It should cause them great consternation and fear and force them to come to the table and operate in somewhat good faith. Because, of course, they're parasites. They're never going to operate in total good faith, but at least be regulated and taxed. But instead, the United States government is a little purring shih tzu in the lap of the globalist parasites.
Or it's a big bulldog against the public.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, absolutely.
Michael, your thoughts?
I just wish we had more congressmen and senators that had some guts there. I could at least get a committee started. And, you know, I think when I listened to Tenpenny and Mikovits, one of the things they harp on is moratorium on vaccines until we get it all sorted out, you know. And I just wish we had some senators and congressmen that would, there's a few, but they're not many, but I think we need to have more people take a hard look at this and say, listen, we need to, before we bring out a vaccine like this and even think about giving it to the whole public, we need to slow down and take a a harsher look and look at what the CDC is, you know, kind of organization it is. It's a taxpayer funded agency that is hopelessly corrupt right now. And I just wish there was a senator or two or a congressman or two that would actually see that and say, we need to hold hearings and start holding them to task, getting them in front of Congress. That was done. That was done in the mid 2000s. And now we're even in worse situation probably than we were then. Because they actually held hearings. They actually held hearings and they had a list of findings and they had a list of recommendations. And they were very harsh to the CDC and the FDA, too.
Well, there ought to be at least two obligations for any application for approval of a vaccine. Number one, that they have the obligation to prove that it's safe, that it does no harm. Number two, they also have the obligation to prove that it's effective, that it does some good. And then and only then, it seems to me, ought any company to be entitled to provide a vaccine to the public.
I agree. And you have to have the proof of the safety and the proof of it being effective can't be rushed. And that's what's frightening about the situation now. Is that they're trying to they're saying they're working so hard to get this as soon as possible. You know damn well it's going to be an experimental frickin' vaccine because
you also know it's not going to be effective. There's never been an effective vaccine for a respiratory disease, and there's general admission that you know the flu vaccine gives you the flu. It doesn't prevent you from obtaining it.
Well, the thing is, that's one of the things that makes this deeply disturbing. It's a vaccine for not even the flu, really. It's a coronavirus is in every human body. And I mean, you're going to try to, and it can't even be specific because the test even isn't specific for the COVID-19. But you're going to try to develop a vaccine for a specific virus that you say is there that really isn't there. I mean, that's what David Icke usually says. But my feeling is that how can you develop a coronavirus vaccine when the coronavirus is so common it's not even a virus.
Right. It's so omnipresent. Virtually every human being has a coronavirus of one variety or another.
Well, that's the insanity of it, and that's why there has to be more a very nefarious agenda besides just that. And that's when you read about what the virus they're talking about they want to do. It's basically modifying the human genome. Is what it's all about.
Giuseppe, is that really an objective here?
It's the core objective. It's totally nefarious. The mRNA, Moderna RNA, RNA Moderna. Is a snippet of a virus that can, then helps write actual DNA, which DNA is the genetic code. So right now, they skipped the human trial. I'm sorry. They skipped the animal trials, went right to human trials.
Yeah.
There's a fella who came out as a whistleblower in the last week who had, you know, they give a gradient level. They'll give some dupes, testers, a low dose. And this guy got a higher dose and he is going through absolute hell now. He's passing out syncope unexpected in the showers. He's in absolute pain. He's running a real high fever. The doctors can't do anything for him because this is like a horror movie, sci-fi horror movie where they coat via lipid, they coat this RNA with fat so it gets farther into the cells in the body before it's implemented. So it actually does literally attempt to rewrite. So this is such a psychopathic agenda by Gates and and Kissinger and the ilk. I mean, both this week, Shlomo Kissinger and Psychopath Gates have announced that we need to migrate to a one world of government. And Gates was interviewed yesterday, the day before, by one of the large, bigger UK publications and come out and said that, anti-vaxxers are causing a problem with their disinformation. But I guess that's another name for the truth, disinformation. Yeah. Just like next he's going to call us conspiracy theorists, because that's another descriptor for the truth. And so it's so criminal. It's so beyond evil. And yet, you know, there's been since 2020, and I would say, mention a moment, both the COVID-19 SARS-2 scam, and it is a scam because it's a chimeric hybrid created in a lab. It's been out for years. I had it in 2018. It's a nasty, nasty bug to get rid of. And it took everything. Normally with my training in oriental medicine and natural nutrition, I can get rid of anything in about a week. And it took me 6 months. You'd think it was gone, my wife and I, and then it would come back, and sometimes it would come back. It was terrible, and finally got rid of it. And so now, and another point that you brought up earlier, Michael, is the idea of testing. Today, here in Northern Virginia, which is Bolshevik Virginia now, the clown governor, Ralphie Northam, every time I see him, I think of that old Jackie Gleason Honeymooner show. Hey, Ralphie! He's such a buffoon. And he was kneeling down and getting a test wearing a mask. And he tweeted out, oh, it kind of stings a little bit. And I almost tweeted back to him, but I really don't feel like putting a bullseye target on my back. The fact that that swab test absolutely cannot test for COVID-19 SARS-2. It just tests for coronavirus. And you can also scrape anything from the back of a person's sinus cavity. There's a lot of nasty stuff there, but the body has ways to deal with it. And then the other test they claim is the Serologic test, which the manufacturer, I've said this before, the manufacturer states right in the packaging, this is not an actual diagnostic test. This is an evaluation test. And so the two tests they claim, so every day up here in Northern Virginia, a little local email newspaper, the Patch, says, oh, 50 new cases or 100 new cases. It's like, how do you determine that this is a case? You have no way to test for it yet. It's just lie upon lie upon lie.
The testing is a complete and utter joke. And I'm kind of glad that with my employer, I don't have to do it. It's like, you know, and my wife so far hasn't had to do it, with her job, but she works with the public. And I just think the chances of you testing positive when there's nothing wrong are so high. And then it changes, you know, that positive test changes your freaking life for 2 weeks. And I just.
If not forever.
Well, that too. But it's mostly that they want you to basically not even go outside for 2 weeks, basically. Based on a test that is so inaccurate and has a lot of false positives. Or I should say not just one test, but several. But I'm against getting tested because I'm healthy. I have nothing going on. I feel fine. And I'm not going to be a prisoner in my home for 2 weeks. And I'm against it. And they're going to, if they have to come into my house, I'm not going to answer the door. And they'll have to go somewhere else unless they break down my door. So I'm just against it pretty much. It's, one of the interesting things about Heckenlively's book that he brings up is this, response by the medical community to the, thimerosal in the vaccines going back years though. And it gives you an image of the medical industry, not just the CDC, but the medical industry. They had this held this retreat in this town outside of Atlanta where, you know, the CDC's headquartered in Atlanta. And they had all these passionate arguments about, there's, a lot of doctors presented studies that said, an increase in thimerosal, results in this percentage of a likelihood of getting, autism. And there was a lot of, and it's quoted in the book. He goes over it in the book, but they go through a lot of debate. And at the very end, this older gentleman, an experienced scientist who won a Nobel Prize in a medical field related area, I can't remember, but he gets up and he makes a speech and he says, you know what? We all did good work. We all did, we all did what we did, but we should have known when we were going to head with this before we, went off the rails. And if this gets released to the public, we don't want to see the damage this will do. And this is, it's just another indication of the industry was corrupt even then. That was 20 years ago. And it's a wonderful chapter in the book. And the I'll just point out the town. I got my notes here, but it was Simpsonwood conference, and it was a retreat, and it had not just doctors, it had regular, normal doctors, but he had some people that were in this, a lot of people in the CDC, a few media types in there. You had many people connected to the vaccine industry. It was pretty amazing. Chapter in the book is all I can say. And then the bottom line is we need to hide this from the public. Even though they were like waffling on it a bit, but there were some pretty good studies presented in that retreat that showed that there was a connection. And that was 2000. And here we are sitting 20 years later, and it's still a problem. And that this is that was a corrupt medical industry back then. It's even more deeply corrupted now. And the number of vaccines that are in the schedule have quadrupled probably since that time. But
not to vary the cadence, but Giuseppe, have you picked up on how the mainstream is reporting that statues of figures like Robert E. Lee are being taken down because he fought to preserve slavery when he fought for the right of the Confederate states to secede from the Union? I can't believe it's disgraceful. And one way of destroying the cultural identity of a nation is removing all the monuments and memorials to its past.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And ironically, it ties into the same lie that the CDC and Fauci and the media started promulgating in the last week, that, oh, the reason you should wear masks now is not to protect yourself from the COVID-19 SARS-2 virus. That was never the intent. It's to put your fellow sheeple at ease, to ease their concern. It's like, we have stepped through the looking glass and we are in the loony alternate mirror universe of Alice in Wonderland. And it's like, it's corporate overlords Wonderland, because everything they want to do, they've taken control of everything. And you mentioned earlier the elections. How can we get people elected? Yes. How can we get people elected when it's all controlled by financing, when it's all rigged by super easily hackable, as Dr. Fetzer's frequent guest Richard Sharnan has proven again and again. So it's like there's nothing at present we can do. And how ironic that Black Lives really matter, especially a few months before an election. You can just look at every uprising the last.
Giuseppe, the last Gallup poll showed that Trump was at his highest public approval rating of 49%. That's from Gallup. That means his actual approval is in 55 to higher. And did you hear at the beginning, Rasmussen has a new poll showing that among Black likely voters, more than 40% are going to support Trump.
Well, that's what's so sad about the lying media representing that all Blacks are oppressed. The underclass is oppressed. The real war for fairness and equality is a class war, but you try and say that and you will never be on the media like Gerald Celente used to be on all of them. He started pointing out it's more like a class war, and boom, he's a ghost now. And the fact is that when you interact with any individual, I give them the same respect that I would expect to receive back. I'm civil. I'm friendly. In fact, the last 5-8 years, I've gone out of my way to engage anyone I talk to, a clerk, a store. You know, I just ask them how they're doing, because everything is so dehumanizing now, and people are treated like dirt if the store doesn't have a product in there. And the fact is the underclass is a lot of ignorant, uneducated, addicted, hopeless people. In fact, more of the underclass are white than black, and more of the underclass are Mexican than black now. The black thing has been around forever, and the class overlords, the globalist parasites, the plutocrats, they never offer real solutions to their elected lackeys. You know, real solutions would be going into the ghetto areas, establishing. Go ahead.
And that 40% of the blacks likely voters are supporting Trump because he's improved the quality of their life. It was the lowest paying jobs, that wages were rising the fastest. He's cut down the competition by these illegal immigrants coming across our southern border that were stealing the jobs from them. And on many other fronts, we've had major improvements. Look here, Pew just gave an analysis between 2001 and 2019. In 2001, there were 36 blacks in Congress. By 2019, there were 56. There were 19 Hispanics. Now there are 43. There were 7 Asians. Now there are 17. There was 1 Native American. Now there are 4. I mean, the situation is simply ridiculous. Improvement has been going on the right and on the left. These are people who are upset because of the improvement. They're upset with Trump because he's been succeeding, and they're not going to win another election, Giuseppe. That's the truth of the matter.
I totally agree, and take it a step further, that the people, the delivery driver for Pepsi Cola or Coke, or the mailman who's married to a nurse, and between their two incomes, they own a house. And they're living a lower middle class or middle class existence. And so, but they prefer, a lot of blacks prefer to live more in black neighborhoods because they're more comfortable, because there is, I hate the word racism, it's more tribalism, but the white tribe doesn't know how to handle the black tribe and their customs, and the Mexican tribe, although this is a melting pot. It's getting better and better.
You know, Giuseppe, the average black family is very middle class. They have values very much like we did in South Pasadena in 1950. They believe in family. They believe in morality. They believe in the values of the country and the flag. They have to be dumbstruck by all of this destruction that's destroying such black small businesses as they may have in their communities. They've got to be absolutely appalled. And for Antifa and Black Lives Matter to think they're going to join in the revolution, what an absurdity. What an insult.
You exactly interpreted where I was going. That was my point. And to just hammer that home, I watched a video earlier today of an eloquent young black guy who was just saying, why are they doing this? That was the grocery store I used to shop at. That's the AutoZone when I worked on my own car. That's, you know, it's just insane, because they're destroying the quality of life of decent people. And so many of these Antifas
are just... And Democrats think they're going to win votes this way? Insanity. We got Bill from Australia here standing by. Bill, come on in. Add your voice.
Yeah, hello everybody. Hey, I'm a bit not quite sure where you stand on this killing. Do you think he was a black guy that was actually killed and they set it up, or do you think it was totally fake?
Who are you asking, Bill? You asking me?
You, Jim.
Yeah, it looks to me like the whole thing was fake. It's very interesting. My latest blog, I reported that the actual guy, his attorney from Houston, said he died 3 years ago. This isn't even the same guy. And we know there were multiple takes. I mean, there are all kinds of indications that this was done in segments, that none of it's legit. And once you realize part of it's fake, you got to realize the whole thing is fake.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, the police plate, number plate saying police just reminds me of, you know, when you go to Movie Land and that, and you go on the rides and they have Scooby-Doo and that. So I know it's dodgy as hell, but Alex Jones was saying that they had these results of the drug in his blood. So you reckon Alex Jones is a bit up the pole there?
Oh,
or it's another guy.
Oh,
you know what I mean? If there's no real body, how can you have an autopsy?
Right, yeah. Right. We've got two conflicting autopsy reports. I was remarking in relation to the funeral celebration of his life that he truly was a man for all seasons. I mean, not just fentanyl, but meth as well. Not just assault and battery, but you know, armed robbery. That he was had the time to make porn movies. I mean, this truly was a guy we ought to be celebrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so what you're saying is what Alex Jones is saying isn't kosher. It's not on. He's saying that you know, he's going by the autopsy, but you reckon the whole thing's just fake.
Well, the whole thing appears to be fake now.
I was just wondering.
Completely nailed down, but, you know, the two of them work together at the same club security on the same evening, and the club appears to be a huge money laundering operation. And you know, everything's about, if you saw the footage of the mayor at the funeral, it was a joke. He was crying like he was a little kid, and this was his mother.
I heard you talking about it, and I did see it, but I didn't take it in much. Yeah, I'm just comparing, you know, like I go on Alex Jones, and I even if he's a shill and he's giving me 80%, that's better than I get on the normal news. So I was just trying to sort out that.
I think Alex is really drawing attention to cases that deserve more consideration. He's good at speculating about what's going on. He's not good at following through and accumulating the evidence and assessing the relative weight of the evidence in relation to alternative hypotheses, but it gets the discussion going. I like that.
Yeah,
I like him too. He's better than the normal news. Okay, well, I'll get out of the conversation and I'll mute.
Today's an occasion when your timing was impeccable. If you have more you want to say, you're welcome to say it.
Yes, could I interject
okay, I'll get out. Someone else wants to talk. Yeah, I might talk later on or something.
We'll bring in Giuseppe, and then we'll come back to you, Bill. Go ahead, Giuseppe.
Well, I was just going to say that I'm thinking in the massive pontification and moving George Floyd quickly to sainthood will probably be the next campaign will be one of be like George, a true Renaissance
like
man.
George. I even have one frame, a very tasteful frame from one of his porn videos I've included in our report.
And the funny thing about the Antifa and Black Lives Matter is where they should be legitimately marching and outrage and protesting is the case of young Breonna Taylor, who was murdered, gunned down by corrupt Louisville police officers that kicked in her door and fired 22 shots because they thought they were going after a no-knock raid of a violent felon who actually they knew was caught 3-4 hours earlier. And then she was a EMT working in two different jobs, going to school to be a nurse, just a wonderful, admirable young woman. That's where the outrage should be focused, not this phony George Floyd. It's such a weird op. It's like
I know it's ridiculous. It's every aspect of it is ridiculous. They've got over 11 million now on his GoFundMe account, and I'm telling you, that's laundered money.
No doubt.
Bill, come on back in. Bill, are you still there?
Speak wrong. Yeah, I'm there. I was muted. Yeah, well, we got the funny situation in Australia where our Prime Minister's saying, oh, we're not into this racial stuff. That's not Australian. So we've got the situation now where people should have been protesting about being locked down, but now they're protesting. They want to do the Black Lives Matter in Australia too. And the government's saying, no, you're not allowed to go out because of the coronavirus. So you've got the coronavirus saving us from the Black Lives Matter. They're threatening to, you know, to fine them for protesting the Black Lives Matter. So they, you know, like, they've got the two going against each other, the two false stories fighting each other.
Well, John Rappaport, and I just published this blog about this, suggests that they're actually correlated, that, you know, if you look at it, the virus thing, the lockdown and all that meant people were out of work. They were actually very frustrated. So you had something to build on when you start these riots. They can work out their frustrations and at least initially be sympathetic until they realize they're destroying their own community and everything they've worked for all of their lives up until now. And if the Democrats think this is going to benefit them in November, they have their head where the sun doesn't shine. I mean, it's just astounding.
From my perspective on that is, you had the lockdowns going on, and then I think things were starting to open up, and also the narrative was wearing thin on a lot of people.
Yeah, nobody believed it. With great skepticism breaking out all over the country.
Well, there was, but I'm just saying you have to break through the people that are. I'll get back to that. You have to break through a certain group of people. But this is so convenient. That's why I think it's coordinated. Is that all of a sudden, you know, the country started to open up, and then this happens, and then all of a sudden we go from lockdown to curfews just like that. And you can't tell me. And then people are, yes, there's protests out there happening that are legitimate. Maybe people just want to say that really believe the narrative of this Minneapolis situation.
Yeah.
And let's say they believe it, but they go out and protest. Well, what ends up happening, it gets infiltrated, and then an element that just comes in and takes the whole thing over and takes it in a different direction. And then you get a riot. And I think it was all planned to basically make bridge the gap from lockdown to curfews.
Michael, they're delivering pallets of bricks in the middle of the city so the rioters will have them to throw into store windows. My company is owned by George Soros. Wow. Surprise, surprise.
Well, I know that. That's exactly what I'm saying, is that it's coming from outside the areas. All the people are being brought in and all the elements are being brought in. And it's basically to take the bridge the gap from basically lockdown to now we have to have curfews.
We have two more having joined us. Bring in Bill Grant first. Bill, join the conversation.
Hey guys, thank you very much. Sorry about being late again, but first of all, I'm not going to turn my back on AJ and probably not Trump either, of course. But one of my sayings is what they want us to believe is the cure is the disease, right? And in some basic normal ways, that is true. We should be getting exposed from childhood with all the pathogens in the soil and have a gradual buildup. One thing builds off the next, which builds off the next. Eventually you get measles. That helps you for life. So I had a saying. Another saying was, stay sick, my friend. Okay, that's the best way. But for the esoterics and stuff like that, I also say the cause and the cure of the world's problems is silver and gold. Now, it's the mental disease of striving to get the physical, mental, and gold as money, but some would say silver and gold is actually a physical cure. So you have the mental disease and the physical cure equal and opposites in a weird way there. But I'm going to say I'll have more to say later. I'll try to make this part short. But remember, one thing they might be testing for is, what we've been breathing in from chemtrails, what's been in past vaccinations. Gates himself had to admit, no, this isn't a real disease. He already said it. He had to give in. He had to say, no, this is just a rollout, just like I've been saying. And I'll just get back to more a little bit later.
Good. We also have Brew here from Chicago. Join the conversation, Brew.
Yeah, one of my things is, No, anyway. Hey, Bill from Australia. You know, I've done some pretty good write-ups in the comment sections of the grism.blogspot. If you want to check out those comment sections, people have been dropping links to videos such as 153news.net, linking to where they're tearing apart the chauvinist, the alleged cop, and this whole little theatrical thing we got going on there, and that's a good one. And Candace Owens, amazing Candace Owens. I don't know what kind of database she has, but she seems to pull up all sorts of criminal records on what this alleged George Floyd is or isn't. I don't know, but, you know, armed robbery, jail terms, meth, all this other stuff, so on and so forth. Even me and just basic searches can come up with, you know, used to be colleagues with rapper Killer Mike in Dallas or Houston or wherever it was. And then he's, friends with an NBA star who is Steven Jackson, who calls him his twin. You know, then you got he's working in a seedy nightclub, which is in Minneapolis, Somalia there, where you definitely got drugs going through. And what's the biggest drug influence going on here besides meth and whatever? It's fentanyl. And you got the Chinese connection. And then recently, they've been intercepting loads of cash coming into counterfeit cash coming in from China in small denominations, $1 bills being seized back in as early as January coming from China. And so that, you know, that's what's being seized, $900,000 in $1 bill denominations being seized. So they could be going 5s, 10s, 20s, but they keep in low denominations to flood it into local economies to at least screw that up. You know, just they just got to do it in low denominations, screw it up locally. And it's hard, difficult to start doing hundreds or whatever because it strips and whatnot. And
that's,
then they're harder to pass.
Very interesting, but that should be coming from China. Very interesting.
Yeah, I gather.
Well, it is, and it is documented. There's articles coming out of International Falls. The customs over there grabbed it and whatnot. So who knows how much is – so just think about whatever they do seize or are able to intercept, how much doesn't get intercepted. So if remember how this whole Floyd original story began is he allegedly was passing counterfeit money. So, you know, put the connection in there. So, again, what boggles me today, okay, I'm not taking just the one little documentation that you have, because I looked at your article today and I saw the little blurb from this Dan or Timothy Jaffe. I tried looking for his website and I found it, but I found nothing where he posted that actual statement that he went to school with them and he actually represented him as a lawyer and he died 3 years ago. But that's only one blurb, but yet people are still pulling stuff up. So I don't know how this is all working. More needs to be delved into this. Maybe Floyd was already previously deceased, Stephen Jackson.
The attorney might be fabricated.
Well, again, I don't know. I mean, if you look up the Timothy Jaffe, he's got a lot of pages where people actually give him credential. You know, yeah, I worked with Timothy Jaffe. He worked on my case. I know the guy, blah, blah, blah. So he's got so it's not something they were able to come up overnight, and I don't see any, you know, I didn't do deep enough search, but this is something for others to get out there. Because Amazing Polly's even on an act, and she went into the nightclub owner, because, you know, look, suspiciously, this nightclub for over a decade, just recently, because I know this part, where she just recently sold it just a few months ago, before all this happened, after owning it for over a decade, and she sold it right in the middle of the COVID crisis, where, you know, everyone's down, her business
We have another caller from the 619 area. Bruce, stay here. I want to get more from you. I just want to bring in 619. Give us your name and state, please.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling from San Diego, California, and okay. I'm regular girl in the chat room. And yeah, one of the things that I learned, I guess, maybe over a week ago now already, is that this thing is called a carotid restraint, is what it was called. And then not long afterwards, the San Diego police are forbidden to use it. But, you know, this term is still not being used, the carotid restraint. And so that what we all saw was this murder, right? We saw this murder occur. And what we knew was that the man had not even, whether it was fake or real, we saw this event happen. There is this phenomena called what's that called when you see theater and it is known to occur that it is like it happened, catharsis. It's when we see theater occur, whether it's live or on film, the human body reacts as though it's happening to them. So we saw this murder occur, and we know that we live in such a police state that the murder occurred. The man had not even been tried yet, right?
Right.
That's why we reacted the way that we did. So we're having these protests
with no due process. Yeah.
Right. That's why the anger.
Is taught to our police by the Israelis. We're making the stupendous mistake of sending our police, who are actually friendly with our community, to be taught by the Israelis to treat American citizens as they treat the Palestinians, which is not nice. Stupid idea.
And I realized as I was waiting to talk that I realized I was upset. Because as loud as we say the voice is, figuratively and realistically speaking, because this is a voice that's rising, you know, in the world, in the country, saying, we're not taking it anymore.
We're not taking it anymore.
But as loud as that voice is right now, resounding to the world, that the militarization, the police state is so strong, I'm afraid it's not like a what's that called? Pissing in the wind, you know?
Yeah.
That's the predicament that we are in, you see. Yeah. But that's not why I'm calling. What I'd like to say is I've noticed that it seems as though we're in a disinfectant stage right now. The stores, and I'm saying this because I've gone to the same stores. I shop in the same store. But now they're spraying everything down, the shopkeepers, the cashiers. Like when you leave, what they're doing, the cashiers, when they're not busy cashiering, they're spraying everything down, the grocery carts and everything like that. So we're in a disinfectant stage. And I don't know if they're reporting this on the news, but I'm noticing it's happening. And while we're all talking about racism, I wasn't clear because of the history in my family, what particular race we are, whether we're, you know, I'm just really a mixed bag of everything. So my mother pointed out to me and my brother and sister that everybody in our neighborhood, that the Irish, they were called dirty. Everybody else thought the other race, the Italians were dirty, the Irish were dirty. Everybody was dirty. But notice the Jews were dirty. See, we're dirty. We have to cover up our faces. The very air that we're breathing is dirty. But notice, but all along, whenever we got the flu, they were telling us, no, it didn't have anything to do with the germs. Remember that? I'm 65 years old. All of my life, when you went to the doctor and you had a cold or the flu, they couldn't give you anything because it didn't have any effing thing to do with the germs. Now, all of a sudden, the flu has to do with the germs and we're dirty. Really? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I want to tell you is last night we had a protest of 1,000 people. They marched together in San Diego because you're not going to hear this that much on the news. They marched together and they were not standing 6 feet apart in San Diego last night. They were not standing 6 feet apart and not everybody was wearing a mask either. Okay. Anyway, I've taken up a lot of time. Thanks for taking my call. I listened to you.
No. It was all good. I liked it. I wanted to get some comments about it. Giuseppe, did you want to comment on what's going on in San Diego?
Yeah, it's going on everywhere. I mean, there was here in the Northern Virginia area, a little town called Vienna, Virginia, very upscale, 500 people marched, and then it was peaceful. That's good. And then the chief of police kneeled with them. And it's and going back to a few moments earlier, the Latina club owner, there's a you can't even, of course, it's not even worth trying to get real news from the mainstream, but there's some really great citizen journalists, and Bruce turned me on to a whole bunch. And I found, this fella did a report last night that Latina came out of nowhere about 10, 15 years ago with enough money to buy the club, to buy a radio station. And so somebody has funded her big time to infiltrate that area, which is very interesting.
Dave, I want to bring in Dave from Minnesota. He's here. He's right there at the hot seat. Dave, come on in.
Jim, they call it the Raza, La Raza, the race.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
Dave.
Hey, yeah, I'm going to tell you that for years, probably the last 25 years, the city of Minneapolis, the city council, and the mayor, it's just been a mess. I mean, now they actually have two trannies on the city council, and one happens to be the vice president. I don't know if you guys have seen that. But getting back on what Bruce was talking about, 153 News, the channel is LPZ. It's Larry, Paul, Zebra. And what they do is they go through websites like People Finder and address.com, and they look for connections, similar relatives, different spelling names, aliases. It feels like it appears like this Chauvin is from Louisiana. Now, his real last name is Sharon. So I find that kind of interesting. But I think you guys need to check that out.
Well, the whole thing is a mess. And believe it or not, Dave, what did you think of the city council taking seriously the idea of disbanding the Minneapolis Police Department?
Well, no, they've been talking about community policing for years, and all that's going to be is a bunch of city types. You know, your LGBTQ, your trannies, your tribe members, and
well, what's going to happen? Kind of, crime is going to go rampant. Every criminal is going to come to Minneapolis because it gave up its police force. It's idiotic.
Well, I mean, they're going to target the white male. I don't know if you guys have seen that video of the Professor Bloom out of Georgia State. She's making up this non-scenario of white racists that are going to go and infiltrate all these Antifa movements and start a race war.
Right. White supremacists are going to infiltrate Antifa and Black Lives Matter, no doubt. I mean, how dumb is that?
Yeah, and Project Veritas has come out with they infiltrated Rose City Antifa out of Portland.
Well, now that's
Here's another thing, though. There is a Ku Klux Klan still in here in California.
No,
did you know that?
Oh, please.
Yes, there is.
No,
oh, yes, there. Oh, yes, there is. 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 And that needs to stop. Oh, yes, there is. And that needs to stop, too. Oh, yes, there is. And that needs to stop. You're laughing, are you? Oh, yes, there is. And you're laughing. Well, shame on you. You know what? I don't even need to do anything because the God that exists will handle you.
I was very impressed when Barack Obama came on to
explain
how racism in the United States is so bad that
he's a robot, and I don't even want to talk. And I'm hanging up now. I'm not going there.
Hey, Jim, I want to try to shoot off a bunch of things and then I'll jump. All right. First of all, physically, in order for us to grow our organs, in particular our lungs, diaphragm, and more, to grow properly, we actually need the good germs. And otherwise, with no germs, we literally do not develop properly to the point of possibly dying. Now,
for sure.
And the opposite happens with vaccinations in mercury. Mercury inhibits specifically what I just said. But to jump, remember, I'll tell the doctor if I'm cured. Okay, I'm not going to go to the doctor sick, take his prescription, and then come back a week or a month later and ask him if I'm cured. Did it work, doc? No. Okay, but to skip ahead again, La Raza is what I was going to tie to the nightclub myself, and a lot of these guys already kind of brought that out. So the nightclub woman was tied to La Raza and Antifa and what the other guys had already said. But remember, we need to be immune from propaganda first, inoculate ourselves against psychological warfare, and forgetting the rest of the stuff I was going to say, the last thing I want to say is, remember, you know the old term about a boot stomping on your face for the future. You know, if you want to know what the future really is, it's a knee kneeling on your neck for eternity. All right, have a good night, guys.
I think that the Democrats have found a winning slogan for the 2020 November election. Defund the police.
I'd like to interject really quick that the creators of the George Floyd app, operation rather, really missed an opportunity. They should have had him be a tranny as well.
Well, he was a porn star. I guess that was the closest. The guy was a huge guy. You know, he's like 6'5 and 300 pounds. God. Yeah. Michael, you've been great to come on today. I'd like to give you the opportunity for a few last words here before we have to part.
Well, the one thing I want to say about it kind of went back earlier to your comment about destruction of historical monuments.
Yeah.
This seems to be a theme with all these. And the problem is these young people that are protesting or are part of Antifa, part of Black Lives Matter, they weren't there. They don't know what the real history is. They're only told what the history is. And, you know, I think that's what this the whole idea of these race or these this whole idea to try to create a race war is to basically erase American history.
Yeah, that's right, and our identity. Let me just say, I'm going to have a new conspiracy guy show at JimTheConspiracyGuy.com on the New Zealand shooting, where they reel or a political stunt. New time, new starting time, 2 hours early. 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to all the callers.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Most guys freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your body's filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. 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 Radio.
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests,